97 to 99 FM. We could tell you how we do it, but then we'd have to kill you.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, wireless mass media revolutionized society, bringing millions of people together in a single, shared, instantaneous experience. We know now that the first such medium to see hope. In the 38th year of the 20th century, a single radio drama, Orson Welles' version of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds, caused millions of Americans to question whether what they were listening to was fiction or fact. Thousands fled their homes in fear. A few even took up arms against the supposed invader. 60 years later, throughout the world, radio's influence has withered. It is the spent medium. It could never happen again. Could it?
For a time, we tried to contact them by radio.
Radio.
One darnest noise ever.
The UK's new music.
97 to 99 FM.
Radio 1.
Welcome to BBC Radio 1's live UFO Watch special. I'm Nicky Campbell, and if you've been listening in during today, you'll know that history is being made.
That's another burst coming in.
Even as I'm speaking.
Mark the time. 1901 hours and 20 seconds. Good.
Ah, the distinctive voice of the astronomer Patrick Moore, here with me aboard an RAF Sentry E3D aircraft high over northern England. Now, if you've ever seen AWACS, the large American early warning aircraft with a saucer-shaped disc mounted on its top, this is basically the Royal Air Force equivalent. Now, Patrick, of course, is more at home in an astronomical observatory, but events are moving so fast that, well, frankly, I'm a bit lost for words, because basically we've been using a very powerful ground station transmitter to send a high-energy signal pulse out into space for a week now as part of our UFO Watch initiative, which you'll know about if you've been listening to Radio 1. And the radar telescope facility at Jodrell Bank has been, well, this morning at around about 10:30, get this, something came back. Now, we got some sort of a reply. Now, what we want to do now is to get a clearer signal and try and pinpoint it. And the RAF are taking the situation so seriously, they've actually diverted this aircraft from a mission over Bosnia so we can find out if we really are in contact with an extraterrestrial intelligence. Now, in the background, you can hear the voice of the Sentry's tactical director, squadron leader Pete Newton. Now, Pete, where exactly are we just now?
We're just coming on station now, Nicky. Our orbit is over the Isle of Man, as you can see on the screen.
Right, inside the Sentry's cabin, there are three rows of radar consoles, all displaying information about air traffic over the UK. Now, normally this would be part of the airborne early warning system for air defence, but this evening we've also got a ground link to the radio telescope array at Jodrell Bank, relaying what they're actually picking up from deep space. In fact,
this is eyeball.
They're just relaying another transmission now, as you can hear.
Have we got Woomera on SATCOM yet? With the information on Mount Calamar, we might be able to triangulate and pinpoint the source. What have we got on the other
side? Obviously, Patrick's a bit busy at the moment, but I have what they call the Air Command element of this RAF Sentry aircraft with me. Group Captain Philip Johnston. Phil,
good to have you here. Thanks for coming. Good to be on radio.
The RAF are obviously taking this reply to our deep space transmissions very seriously. Uh-huh. What's the official position on UFOs? Is it like the X-Files, you know, that kind of top secret thing?
Well, if it was, we certainly wouldn't be broadcasting live on Radio 1. No, the RAF have always kept an open mind on this issue. After all, we have to. The air defence of the United Kingdom's our job.
Does that imply we've had sightings of UFOs over Britain?
Oh, yes, definitely. We've had reports, hundreds of them over the years. Most explained by natural phenomena, including the human imagination, but I suppose there's a hard core that don't fit known explanation.
Are you talking personal experience here?
Indirectly, perhaps. My wife, Becky, is a flight lieutenant piloting Tornado F3s from RAF Collingsby, a few miles from our base at Woodington.
Good to know the RAF has female fighter pilots, I'll say that for it.
Yeah, several in service, more in training. The RAF's an equal opportunities employer.
But has your wife actually seen a UFO when she's been a pilot?
She was once doing low-level night flying training over North Wales and found herself shadowed for several minutes by a very fast, very bright light. Nothing registered on ground radar, but she's not prone to hallucinations. Well,
maybe we can radio down and talk to her about this later in the programme.
I'm sure we can. She's on QRA this evening.
Excuse me, sir. GCHQ on the phone, Patch.
Excuse me, Nicky. Thanks, now.
Well, thanks very much, Group Captain, from there.
Hello, Roger. This is Patrick Moore aboard Eyeball. Is the Woomera signal coming through?
Any minute now, Patrick.
Patrick Moore there, occupied at this moment with attempting to establish exactly where this extraterrestrial reply is coming from. Now, this is a day... People can say they remember exactly where they were when President Kennedy was assassinated, the man first worked on the moon, John Lennon, assassinated. I suppose as you're hearing us now, this could be the same thing. We just may have made contact with life on another world.
With respect, Nicky, we haven't established anything of the kind until we've located the source of the incoming transmission.
Right, I see.
It could be a perfectly straightforward transmission, distorted by atmospheric conditions.
But it is getting stronger, isn't it?
It seems to be...
George Roll to Eyeball. We're fixing coordinates.
Excellent. George Roll Bank is now combining data from three separate points on the Earth's surface. From his own radio telescope array, from the Mount Palomar Observatory in America, and now from Woomera tracking station in Australia. All these signals arrive at slightly different times to each location due to the curvature of the Earth. Here's what George Roll Bank is picking up.
All right, got that.
This is from Mount Palomar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's add Woomera's receiver.
They're all a bit unsynchronized, aren't they?
Quite. And by running these data through our triangulation program, we can measure the difference in reception time, factor in the strength of the signal, and arrive at its probable source.
So is it possible, can we find out for certain whether this sound is coming from beyond the Earth or not?
Unquestionably. We should get an answer on this aircraft surveillance display.
Answer's coming now. We're setting a cross-cult data link reference point.
Well, what we're looking at now is a symbol which has just flashed up from the ground station onto one of the screens. Now, I assume this gives us a precise fix on the signal. Is that right, Patrick?
Oh, absolutely.
And what does it tell us?
I haven't the faintest idea.
These translate into coordinates. General should be able to give us the range. General Bank, this is Eyeball. Can you estimate a range for us?
285,000, give or take.
What does that figure represent?
The distance to the signal source is 285,000 kilometres.
So this is a transmission of alien origin. The signal's coming from another world.
The nearest planet capable of sustaining life as we know it would be 8 light years away. This signal is coming from our moon.
So what...
Nicky.
Hello, Group Captain, yeah.
Nicky, we've got GCHQ on the patch. They want a word.
With me now. Right, okay, well, if we can take... I'm live on the air here, actually. Who is it from?
GCHQ. Government Communications Headquarters. I think you should talk to them.
Right. Apologies for this. If you're listening to the programme, we're live, and these things do tend to happen. It's an unpredictable sort of thing going on. So excuse me 1 minute. No, I'm the programme presenter. Yeah. It's 7 o'clock.
Sir, John Paul's triangulated the signal to this position. Should I alert BMUs?
Well, it's a... It's
excellent. All right. A ground getting into our data link.
Yes, sir.
That's the decision for the Radio 1 control.
Good Lord.
Matthew Bannister.
According to Jojo, the range is increasing.
Yeah, I'll do it, yeah. This is Nicky Campbell, live from Radio 1's UFO Watch. We've been asked to hand back to Radio 1. If there's any more information we're allowed to give you on these extraterrestrial signals, we'll probably get straight back on the air. I'm hoping Mark Goodyear is in London. Hello, Mark, are you there?
Hi, Nicky. Yeah, hope to get back to you soon. Yes, this is Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Are they all this powerful on planet Earth?
First. Yeah, sorry about that. Seems to be a bit of a problem bringing you our live UFO Watch special. But this is Radio 1, the UK's music leader. I'm Mark Goodyear. Let's get on the dance floor, the tune which is going to be very big indeed for a man from New York. Here's Gusto and Chunk. Right, I think we've just been given the nod that we seem to have ironed out the problem with Nicky Campbell's UFO Watch special. Let's go back to join him aboard the RAF Sentry aircraft over the northwest approaches. Nicky, are you back with us? Nicky, are you hearing us?
Oh, hello, yes, Mark. We're back.
What's the story? Are we allowed to mention the little green men yet?
Well, we had a bit of a run-in, Mark, with the government's listening post. It seems that they were concerned this extraterrestrial signal is Russian in origin, but this has now been discounted. In fact, since we went off the air, there have been a couple of developments I can now tell you. Astronomer Patrick Moore is here with me. We have established the source is, in fact, the moon. Right, Patrick?
Wrong, I'm afraid. It's moon.
What are you talking about?
The message has been getting stronger and stronger. Now we've been able to triangulate it, locate its point of origin, we can say, without question, that its source is moving at some considerable speed toward us.
Right. We've got Professor Dmitry Belov on the line from the Gagarin Radio Telescope Facility in the Ural Mountains, leading Russian astronomer.
And an old friend. Hello, Dmitry.
Patrick, good to hear you. Still playing the xylophone?
Yes, indeed. Now, Dmitry, what do you make of this response to our transmissions? I'd assume you're receiving it.
Oh, indeed we are.
Professor Belov, if I can just ask you, in your opinion, would you say this is a contact with another life form? Have we proved there is life out there?
Most emphatically, yes.
On what basis have you formulated that opinion?
One of our satellites is relaying not only this signal, but also visual images.
Sorry, you mean you've actually got a picture of this thing?
Can you describe what you're looking at, Dmitry?
Well, we're at full magnification, so the resolution is not so good, but there is an object moving towards us.
You can see it, though?
Oh, quite clearly.
Well, what does it look like?
Well, it's a dull gray or brown, featureless at this distance.
What sort of shape is it?
I don't know. I suppose like a potato.
I've heard it. On an extraterrestrial root vegetable is heading for planet Earth, as we speak.
An asteroid?
That would be an explanation of its origin, perhaps.
Dmitry, what size would you say the object is?
We estimate it is about 550 kilometers long.
Dmitry, if your estimate is correct,
uh-huh.
The object is moving toward the Earth. There are some fairly serious implications in terms of mass and velocity.
You mean this thing's going to hit us?
No. Our calculations indicate it is slowing at a rate commensurate with orbital insertion.
The object is moving into Earth orbit.
It is doing so now, yes.
But something that size, its innate gravitational pull will play havoc with the ecosphere, shifts in the Earth's oceans, instabilities in the continental plates.
Yes, but
the destructive potential is enormous.
The object is so close that these effects should have become noticeable by now. There is anomaly here. No reports from anywhere of such phenomena.
This is Nicky Campbell live on BBC Radio 1's UFO Watch. You're listening to leading astronomers Patrick Moore and Professor Dmitry Belov as a vast extraterrestrial object is moving into orbit over Earth. Now,
GD, this is surveillance.
We don't know where it is or where it's from, but it doesn't seem to be obeying the laws of physics, is it?
Well, from this data, it seems clear that this object has an internal gravitational balance, a nullifying force is at work within it.
What is a nullifying force?
Science fiction.
A nullifying field is only theoretically possible. It presupposes the idea of gravity as something which can be generated.
Artificial gravity?
Unproven hypothesis.
So you... Patrick, could you hold the microphone? Thanks. What's going on?
Okay.
The object does not obey the natural laws of physics, thus it must be artificial. Mankind has not developed the technology to achieve this. Therefore, reasoned deduction indicates that this is the product of extraterrestrial intelligence, alien technology.
Don't worry, something is happening to the object. Beam is confirmed.
I can see it breaking up.
Disintegrating in the atmosphere?
No. The piece is flying up. They're moving in a pattern, maneuvering. Patrick, I'll have to leave you now. The Kremlin are on the other line.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Dmitry.
Right. We'll be taking a break here and returning you to our studio in London. As you can hear, the story is breaking very fast. So, over to the Newsbeat studio and John Franklin.
97 to 99 FM, Radio 1, Newsbeat.
This is Newsbeat. I'm John Franklin, and within the last few minutes, the Prime Minister, John Major, has appealed for calm following the news that a large extraterrestrial object is now orbiting the Earth. We go now live to Downing Street and join our parliamentary correspondent, John Sloper.
Yes, John, there's been quite a commotion here. The Leader of the Opposition, Tony Blair, has just arrived and assumes he's been briefed on the situation. Mr. Major and Mr. Blair are approaching the microphone.
Within the last 15 minutes, a large object, unknown origin, has entered the Earth's atmosphere. It is prudent to put all armed and emergency services on standby.
What do you mean by prudent?
I have had a conversation with Her Majesty the Queen in the last few minutes and notified her that as of now, Parliament is dissolved and immediately reconstituted with a coalition government of all parties, both in the chamber and the upper house. Mr. Blair and I will share prime ministerial duties as from this announcement. Tony?
Yes, sir. Little to add at this point, except to reiterate Mr. Major's call for calm. If the public listens for announcements over the broadcast media, we will keep everyone informed of developments. Thank you.
Mr. Major!
You're listening to a Newsbeat special bulletin on the events surrounding a large extraterrestrial object which has moved into Earth's orbit. Stay with us for more information. Apparently, the other radio networks and television can't opt out of their regular programming until 7:30 to cover these events. So Radio 1 is at present the only source of information on what's happening. And, in fact, there's some more news breaking from our UFO Watch team. team. Nicky Campbell is with Patrick Moore in an RAF early warning aircraft circling over the northwest approaches. And Nicky's waiting to speak to us. Nicky.
Yeah, thanks very much, John. There's a bit of confusion here with the signal our radar equipment is picking up. Perhaps the Sentry's technical director, Squadron Leader Pete Newton, can explain. Pete, what's going on here?
Well, Nicky, we're getting a lot of interference out of the west. I've asked my surveillance control to check it out.
Oh, look at the Doppler on that landmass. The whole sector's blanked. We're losing other contacts, but...
That's not interference. That's a radar contact. With that pickup range, it must be huge. Sir, I think you should take a look at this.
Group Captain Johnson's moving in to take a look at the screen now.
Stop me. Can you estimate its speed? Stay with the contact.
Track the fragment as it comes in over the Atlantic.
Sir.
Patrick through to Operation Center.
Patrick Moore, what do you make of this? Something appears to be heading this way.
I'm trying to get through to Dodrell Bank for more information.
Right, okay, well, we'll wait for that. Right now we have on the line two F-3 Tornado pilots from RAF Coningsby. One is Wing Commander John Reginald. The other happens to be the wife of our sentry captain, Group Captain Phil Johnston, and she is Flight Lieutenant Becky Johnston. Now, first of all, Becky.
Hello, Nicky.
Becky, Phil tells us you've experienced a UFO while training in low-level night flying.
I can't honestly say I know what it was, but there was definitely an object shadowing me about 500 yards off my port wing.
Could it have been, you know, maybe a reflection of your navigation lights or another tornado, perhaps?
Well, it was... definitely beside us rather than below us, and my navigator saw it too. There was no ground radar contact to correspond to it. As Reggie puts it, it was a flying object which we couldn't identify, so it fits the category of UFO.
And Reggie is Wing Commander Reginald?
Yes, hello, Nicky.
Ah, so you saw this object too, Reggie?
No, this was before Becky was posted to our squadron, but it's not an unusual story, and we do take these things seriously.
Nicky, mm-hmm. I think this may be important.
All right.
You'll have to excuse us. We've been put on cockpit alert.
Nicky!
Right. Thanks.
Nicky!
Patrick, what's the news?
Pretty alarming. Several hundred pieces broke away from the orbiting objects and fanned out. Each fragment is about the size of the Isle of Wight. Or so Dodrell's readings suggest.
Wight? It's enormous.
Yes, indeed. And it appears that they are homing in on large, urbanized centers of population.
Any idea when they might arrive at their destinations?
Not more than a few minutes at the speed this one's moving. It's already over the southwest approaches.
Dodrell reports the communication satellite network seems to be suffering some kind of interference. A carrier wave of enormous power seems to have been superimposed on regular traffic. It may be generated by these fragments as they move toward the densely populated areas.
Yeah, and I'd say the one we're tracking is vectoring in on London.
London?
There may be another moving across the Atlantic toward Ireland or northern England. We're not sure about that one.
Hello, John, at the Newsbeat studio. I think you may now be closer to the scene of events than we actually are right now.
Thank you, Nicky.
97 to 99 FM, Radio 1, Newsbeat.
We've actually got a feed from the Greater London Radio Traffic Helicopter, which is now airborne from its base in northwest London. Our reporter Rod Plummer is aboard. Hello, Rod. Nicky Campbell and Patrick Moore tell us an unidentified flying object is moving towards London, Rod. Rod, can you hear me? No, that's odd. We had a line just now. Hello, Rod. Can you hear me? Hello. Yeah, well, it looks as if we've lost Rod there.
Hello, John.
Hello, Rod. Now, this UFO, have you seen anything unusual approaching London?
Well, we're currently heading south-southeast over Junction 1 of the M3 at Sunbury. Fairly heavy traffic southbound for a Sunday evening.
Well, what about the UFO? Reports indicate that it's heading in the direction of London, and it's very, very large.
Well, frankly, John, I can't see anything. It's a reasonably clear sky. There's a bank of rain cloud drifting in from the west, so the roads will be slippery later.
Okay, so no sign at all.
Oh, hang on, John. Oh, my God.
Hello, Rod. Hello, Rod Plummer in the GLR helicopter. Hello?
Yeah, sorry about that, John. I thought I disconnected the mic there.
Right, okay.
Visibility's a bit hazy with heavy cloud bank moving, moving against the wind. Big bank of cloud definitely seems to be moving towards London. My God, it's huge! Casting a moving shadow, blocking out the sun. There's a creeping line of darkness moving across Hanworth up to Twickenham, Richmond. We're almost under it. I'll get back to you as soon as we find a better vantage point. Back shortly.
Rod Plummer there in the GLR helicopter. Obviously, a major event is taking place over London, perhaps involving a vast, unidentified flying object. And
It is certainly getting dark early outside. Let me hand you back to Nicky Campbell and Patrick Moore up in their RAF early warning aircraft. Perhaps we can get a microphone up onto the roof of the Radio 1 building. I can come back to describe what's happening in a few minutes. Nicky, what's the picture from the RAF point of view?
Yeah, John, RAF Strike Command is now on active alert. The pilots we were talking to earlier have been scrambled. That's Becky Johnson and Reggie, John Reginald. He's leading Blue Section, heading up the initial wave of tornadoes from RAF Coningsby in Lincolnshire to investigate this UFO over London. Now, I'm with Patrick on the flight deck of this Sentry aircraft with its captain, Becky's husband, Group Captain Phil Johnson. Phil, I believe we're able to talk to the tornadoes while they're actually in the air.
Yes, they're heading for London and we'll rendezvous with a squadron of Jaguar aircraft which scramble. Let's see how they're getting on. Blue Leader, this is Eyeball. Come in, over.
Eyeball, Blue Leader, copy, over.
Blue Leader, we have you on air again with Nicky Campbell of Radio 1. Can you give us an idea of your position, Reggie, over?
Yes, hello, Nicky. We're just over Bedford, heading for North London. Apologies to any of your listeners north of Watford if we rattle their windows as we pass by.
Reggie, is there any sign of this large UFO over London?
Well, we're low, so London's still over the horizon. But according to the weather reports, it's supposed to be a clear evening, and I seem to see a large, dark cloud ahead. My nav seems to be having trouble with the radar image, over.
Right, thanks, Reggie. Over.
Phil, is it possible to talk to your wife?
Of course. Blue 2, this is Eyeball, over.
Eyeball, Blue 2, copy, over.
Becky, it's Patrick Moore.
Hello, Patrick.
Blue Leader tells us he's seen what looks like a dark cloud over London. Does this look anything like the UFO you told us about earlier? Over.
I can't honestly say it does. We'll have to take a closer look and then I'll let you know. But I wouldn't say so. Over.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners in London will already be getting a closer view than you have. Good luck, Becky. Good luck, Reggie. Thanks.
Take care, over.
Will do. Eyeball, Blue 2 out.
Some information from Jodrell Bank. They seem to be losing contact with ground stations through Europe, and indeed the United States. They reported objects similar to the one over London, hovering over Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, New York and Washington, and Paris has just gone offline.
So what's happening exactly, Patrick?
Perhaps the UFOs create an ionospheric disturbance which jams their transmissions to us here in the air. The alternative would be some kind of cataclysmic event, a destructive event.
Right. I believe John Franklin in London has managed to get a microphone up onto the roof of the Radio 1 building at just near Oxford Circus. John, can you hear us?
Yes, Nicky. Actually, we're on the roof of BBC Broadcasting House next door. It's pandemonium here in West London. The sky is pitch black. It's like someone put a vast black ceiling over the city. This UFO stretches from horizon to horizon. The streets are packed with vehicles attempting to find a clear route out to get out from under this thing. We were talking earlier to Rod Plummer in the GLR traffic helicopter, and I believe he's back on the line now. Hello, Rod.
Yes, John, hello.
Rod, where are you? Have you managed to get a closer look at the object? Can you describe it? From ground level, it really is very hard to make anything out.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've had a bit of an event here. Just 5 minutes ago, we received radio instructions from the Ministry of Defence. They seem to have a problem with getting helicopters in under this thing from out of town. Basically, we've been commandeered for a bit of a special mission by military intelligence. We have one of their personnel aboard with us.
Well, so, Rod, what are you saying? Are you airborne at present?
Yes, we are, but we're about to land in the gardens of Buckingham Palace. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we're helping evacuate some very VIPs.
That's enough. Switch on the radio.
Sorry, John. Got a gun.
We seem to have lost Rod Plummer somewhere near Buckingham Palace. Well, I wish I could describe better for you the eerie quality of the darkness this huge thing has cast over London. And it's actually getting lighter again, but the object isn't moving. There seems to be a growing line of bright light emanating from underneath it. It's like vast doors opening. It's like a battery of searchlights. It's very directional, very strong. It's south of the river. It's moving. It's moving northward. It's very bright. It's hard to see beyond it as it moves towards us, but it almost looks as if there were a twinkling light. No, they look like fires. The skyline beyond it is different now. Oh my God! It's like a wall of destruction. It's raising everything in its path to the ground. If you can still hear me, I'm trying to get to the fire escape. Hopefully the radio mic will still work. The light is passing over the river. Huge clouds of steam. The water is literally boiling. There goes Big Ben. It's truly horrible. It's moving up Regent Street towards Portland Place. Everything below Oxford Circus is a desert. It's a flaming desert. And it's going to try to get into Broadcasting House basement. Get down the bloody way. The wall of light is on.
Follow me around the perimeter of the UFO. Nobody going under it unless I give
Becky's right. My screen says the same as Chris's.
Weird. I can see a clear sky under that thing.
Blue 2, over.
Go ahead, Blue 2.
Look to starboard. Over Watford, that flash of light.
It's like a curtain of fire.
This is Blue Leader. Tuck in behind me.
Stay clear of the UFO leading edge, over.
It's hostile, I knew it.
Just hang on, Max. I want solid information from Eyeball that will make the weapon fly. Give me a headache.
Couple 10, make your heading 080. She'll be over the Thames estuary in 5 minutes.
Roger, port 10080. Blue Leader to Eyeball, over.
That object's generating a lot of random interference.
Blue Leader to Eyeball, over. Becky, over to starboard, that's Walthamstow.
I can't make out a thing, Chris.
That's what I mean.
The object casts such a shadow, I can't see the buildings below it at all.
That's what I mean, they're gone, they've all...
Oh my God, London isn't there anymore.
Across an immense ethereal gulf. Minds that are to our minds, as ours are to the beasts in the jungle. Into its vast, cool and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us. The War of the Worlds, Vicky. H.G. Wells. The earliest science fiction has become today's science fiction.
Sir, message coming in on the secure circuit. Coded War Operations Center.
Make sure it's authenticated.
Authentication confirmed. It's a code word, boomerang.
Circular. We've moved up to a higher state of alert. Eyeball Air Command elements and mission crew, check in for briefing.
Weapons.
Surveillance.
All right, the rules of engagement have been changed. Strike Command and Control, Defense Condition 1, commence hostilities against alien vessel. Release codes for 1,000-pound bombs authorized for Red Section Jaguars. Sentry aircraft Eyeball will coordinate major strike on northern flank of enemy craft. Message ends.
Weapons affirmed. Surveillance confirmed.
Flight deck affirmed.
Weapons, you are clear to engage hostile targets.
Roger, sir.
Eyeball, Blue Leader, over.
Blue Leader, this is Eyeball. Sit rep, over.
London's gone, Eyeball. It's ashes. Swept flat by some kind of energy wave generated from the belly of this thing. Over.
Blue Leader, damage report. Over.
Just across the Thames estuary, Tilbury. Hard to tell, but it looks like the water's boiling down. Fire and blaze on both sides. Over.
All right, main course for army position with Red Second Jaguars.
They'll be attacking the north flank of the alien vessel. Support them, but be ready to get clear if that thing looks like brewing up. Over.
Roger, Eyeball.
Is Blue 2 with you?
She's fine, Phil. Over.
Right. Let's make contact with WOC at strike.
London's gone.
Give me the AOC.
Gotta get home. You know, see everyone, make sure everyone's okay.
London destroyed? I've lost some very dear friends.
Oh, me too. I'm wondering what hope any of us have got.
I think we are looking at it. This aircraft, the tornadoes, human ingenuity.
Oh, this is alien ingenuity. Now, so far, they stack up pretty impressively.
They? Or... it.
Red Section Jaguar is 30 miles from UFO, sir.
Right, weapons, let's get the rules at work. We'll do this in two waves. Blue Section will cover the Jaguars on their attack run. Keep the remaining Tornado and Jaguar squadrons back as a second wave. Form remaining wings up as they get airborne. Don't let them get too close. If we do manage to toast this UFO, it'll be a bloody big bang, I should think.
Sir.
Jaguar Red Leader, this is Tornado Blue Leader, over.
Blue Leader, Red Leader, copy, we have you on visual. Bloody hell, Reggie, where do you start a thing this size, over?
We'll take a flanking climb around the edge of 30,000, see if we can reach its top side. Maybe there's something that looks like a weak point. Once we've found one, swing it over it and we'll cover you. Don't get closer than 5 miles till I give the word, over.
Roger, Blue Leader, I mean Warheads now, over.
Red Section, form up behind me and Blue 2. Be ready to scatter if we smash this object first time round. Over.
Red Section, copy.
Blue 2,
copy. Blue 3, copy.
Blue 4, copy.
Yes, Becky.
It thinks we've been scanned by that thing. Over.
Sir, just the word. It knows we're here for certain.
Just in case you missed it, Reggie, that's all. Over.
Thanks, Blue 2. Over.
Get that
message. That's what it was. Blimey, I thought the computers were throwing a wobbly.
Keep your eyes open, everybody. She'll get a look at the top of this damn thing any minute now.
Patrick, are you sure you know what you're doing?
Basic navigation haven't changed that much since I was in the RAF.
You were in the RAF?
I was a navigator. I just thought I'd try and see what the world's radio frequencies could tell us.
And?
Nothing on any waveband. Of course, it could be interference from that UFO.
Yeah, and all the others, like hundreds of them, all over the world's major cities. Now, if they've all gone the way of London.
Then we've no way of knowing whether we're the only ones left. I suspect that most countries are in the same position as we are. Assessing the damage, attempting to regroup, and counterattack.
I wonder what our chances are.
I'm on the Blue Leader, over.
I should think...
Blue Leader.
have the UFO at 3 miles, but a visual estimate would be over 5.
Bullion, this is Red Section. Starting attack run. Over. Bullion, copy.
What do you mean, Max?
5 miles and closing.
The surface of that thing is a lot closer than it looks.
Roger, Blue Leader, we have conflicting readings on target.
And those Jaguars don't have forward radar.
Red Section, break up. Break up.
Blue Tutor, Blue Leader.
I know, Becky, I know.
It's a force field, an invisible shield of some kind. Hold beyond the edge of the alien ship.
They're too close. They're not going to make the turn.
Blue Section, pull out now.
We've lost contact with one. Oh, no, this can't be right. The Jags are off the screen.
What?
Lolita, this is Eyeball, over.
I copy you, Eyeball. There's a force field of some kind extending around the alien ship. The Jaguars started their attack run before we identified it. They're all gone. Over.
What's a force field, for Pete's sake?
Invisible. Solid. The Jaguars couldn't veer off in time, collided with it. Horrible. We're heading back in toward the alien ship.
We'll try a frontal attack. A broad surface impact is no damage to the force field. Maybe a surgical strike might pierce it. Blue Section, arm AMRAM missiles and find a sector of that thing to shoot at. Over. What is it, Becky?
I'm having a problem getting along with AMRAM, but good infrared home with Sidewinder.
Blue Section, Sidewinder.
Becky, look.
Lillian, Blue 2, something's happening. Reggie, up to 2 o'clock. On the surface of the alien object. It's opening up.
Bloody hell. What do you make of that?
What do you make of this, Patrick?
Well, Group Captain, if the object shrugged off the impact of those poor Jaguars, a frontal attack of any kind must be pointless. Jodrell will report the UFO is emitting a tremendous infrared signature. This may be the force field.
Let's look for weaknesses. Maybe the force field isn't uniform in strength or something.
The Sidewinders have infrared seekers, so they'll look at the force field's strongest point. If you're right, that may not be the best way to probe a chink in its armor. Blue Leader, this is Eyeball, over.
Wait, Eyeball, something's happening.
Sir, on the screen.
What have you got?
What's that big radar contact?
The UFO over London. But these are new. Hundreds of them. Flying off summit.
Holy smoke.
Little glowing dots.
Blue Section, bug out now. Abort, abort. Bring land to give up. Blue Leader, we are under attack. That UFO. Sections have been opened up. The alien attack craft flooded out.
I count nearly 200 alien attackers, at least 30 in pursuit of Blue Section's tornadoes. The others on a direct intercept course, the rest of the aircraft converging on London. ETA, 3 minutes, sir.
What are the fighter fuel states?
About another hour on task.
Reserves, we've got the cap replacement.
Reserves all in the air, sir.
Get more operations set
on the ground. All wings, this is Eyeball. We have 150 plus bandits converging from the southeast. These aircraft are hostile. Repeat, hostile. Over.
Eyeball, this is your leader.
You know, Nicky, if those alien attackers to spot aircraft at that distance, we may be none too safe up here in this sanctuary.
Patrick, you're such a comfort.
This one's getting too close, Chris. Ready for a hot turn?
Anytime you like, Becky.
Let's see if we can get on his tail.
Nice. Target dead ahead, you're done.
My dot missile has acquisition, lock on.
God knows
where
on that thing,
it's
locked on.
Let's find out. Miss Arloway.
Good job.
No, wait a second. Blew up short of the mark.
Still on one piece.
Quick, let's give it another wider. Lock on target.
Locked on.
Miss Arloway. Damn it! They've got shields too.
Yeah, but look, the impact knocked him off course a bit.
We'll run for it before he recovers. Selecting reheat now. This is Blue 2, over.
Becky, where are you?
We shook off one of our fast friends. Now we're heading northwest, over.
Becky, those alien attacker craft are swarming north. We even have one headed in our direction, so we'll need to evade. I may have to hand you over to ground control.
Phil, missiles just bounce off them. They've got force field protection, too. You better warn the rest of the wing.
Too late, I'm afraid. We're losing a heck of a lot of aircraft. The rest are trying to shake off their pursuers, over.
I'll make the Coningsby hedgehopping, over.
Negative, negative. According to the screen, you should have a helicopter in your 10 o'clock at 2000. Range 9 miles, single rotor, GLR written all over it.
It's got an alien attacker on its tail. I need you to divert him off that chopper. Whatever you can do. Over.
Cover radar.
We see them. But I'm not sure I can stop the attacker. Over.
Do what you can, Becky. The chopper's carrying passengers.
Anyone special?
The royal family.
We're on it. Over.
Be careful. I will out.
I will. Good to have.
How are we doing?
Single alien attacker is still approaching on intercept course. ETA 5 minutes.
Phil, does this aircraft carry weapons?
No, Nicky, okay, we're strictly airborne early warning. I'll try an evasive maneuver if it gets too close, but we may have to make a retrograde move.
Retrograde?
Run away, Greg.
Aircraft closing fast at 6 o'clock, sir. No squawk.
What's that?
Tracer bullets. Well, the alien equivalent.
We're under fire.
Alien attackers chasing him.
Eyeball, this is Blue Leader. I have
you on
visual.
Hello, Blue Leader. I call you. What's your status?
I'm going to kill you. You're patching me up.
over.
He doesn't lose his radar dish first.
Now
we're stuck, Max.
Damn,
35 miles. You'll never make it. We're running on vapor as it is.
Just point me at it, Max. Let's get that little salt of eyeballs tail. I'm going to gun. Nicely in display. It's got a cannon up his rear end. Johnson, we've lost radar. The alien attacker must have scored some hits on the Frisbee.
Maybe Waddington.
There's a lot of alien activity over the base, sir.
That seems quiet, sir.
Philip, that reservoir Reggie was talking about, how far is it from the station? Well, I expect your emergency services will be fully employed. I thought perhaps Nicky and I might borrow a Land Rover and drive out into them, just in case. You know.
Good idea, Patrick. I'll radio ahead.
Just in case what?
Just in case somebody gets their feet to it.
Oh, yes. Jolly good chair. This is Brad.
Nine miles to the reservoir, and I hope you've got a plan, Skip. Three alien fighters on our tail is three too many for me.
If you're not careful, Max, you might die of old age.
Fuel's gone. The plane is now officially running on fresh air.
Well, at least there's plenty of that about. I see water ahead.
It won't run on water either.
Sit that down,
the Reggie, you don't have enough fuel to hop over it, and there are speed hills either side. 5 miles to impact.
How do you practice what single-minded buggers these aliens are? They lock onto an aircraft like six small terriers. They follow it anywhere.
3 miles. Right engine's flamed out.
Plenty of swim.
Because you'll be gone, I know. 1 mile.
Most clapped-out vehicle at RAF Coningsby, Patrick.
Look, that glow beyond that ridge. This must be the shore road.
It's at times like this I wish I'd gone on that Radio 1 Red Cross course. You've got car stickers, a free keyring, and a Michael Jackson video on interesting bandages.
Come on, Max. Up on the road. We have a closer look at this alien ship. Max, talk to me, damn it. Come on, pal. Let's get the air in and the water out. Come on. There you are. Look at that. Nice alien attacker brought down by us.
Sorry?
Try and catch that. Say again.
It's opening.
Oh, God. Bloody hell, lock my gun in the reservoir.
Oh, ugly kid, isn't he? I don't believe in him, Richard.
Oh, great. Fuck. What are you want, you overgrown cutthroat?
It's not coming over to shake hands. It's going to kill us, you know.
Come on, Max.
Oh, my leg's broken, mate. Go on, get out of here.
Damn.
Nicky, look, on the left
ahead.
It must be an alien
pilot. And it's heading for those two guys at the water's edge. We've got to stop it.
That Land Rover's heading straight for us.
Oh, thanks, mate. We were nearly toast. I'm making help. That's Patrick Moore, this
one. I'm pleased to meet you.
We spoke earlier. I'm John Reginald.
This thing, it's still alive.
But keep away. Away from the alien. It's not safe.
Patrick, get back. It's on its feet again.
Either I'm concussed or I'm watching Patrick Moore fist fighting with an extraterrestrial.
Now that's something you don't see every day.
Patrick, get out of the way! You're blocking my shot!
Oh,
exterminate this bug, I think. Yuck.
Patrick, are you all right? Oh, God, what a horrible experience. My head's pounding. Oh, those creatures are quite the most unpleasant things I've ever had the misfortune to be attacked by.
Good idea. Let's get back to Coningsby. Maybe it'll be a happy hour in the mess.
I doubt it. When we drove out, they were packing up to leave. They're evacuating the remaining tornadoes to the Middle East,
The old NATO rendezvous?
The Bekaa Valley.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Apparently, the Air Chief Marshal managed to get through to his counterparts in Europe and the United States. And the idea is to assemble some kind of allied air force there.
Makes sense if it's well away from alien activity. We might get a chance to work out a plan to defeat them and launch a counter-offensive.
Somebody called Fat Albert is going to evacuate the station personnel and casualties up to Scotland.
Oh, Fat Albert's what we call a Hercules transporter.
Oh, I did wonder.
We ought to get Max aboard. Come on, give me a hand, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. God, you're in one piece.
Chris, good to see you.
Just don't kiss me, Group Captain.
I'm sorry to break up a winning team, but Becky's posted the Lucas Defence Force. And Yellow Section are all en route to the Middle East, except for one aircraft that needs a navigator. That's you, Chris.
Fine. I'll get my stuff. Take care, Beck.
Say, Chris, the Lucas Defence Force?
Yeah, Lucas is the new front line.
How many tornadoes are left on base?
Two. And three pilots. You, Reggie and me.
Well, three into two won't go.
Well, Reggie's going south. He'll explain.
Is Max all right?
Broke his leg and swallowed too much reservoir. Patrick and Nicky have volunteered to take the navigator's seat.
Quite like the old days for me.
They're flying with us.
As long as somebody shows me which button not to push.
You'll escort me to the coast, then fly back to join the rest of the group in Scotland. I'll go on alone.
But if we've got the last two tornadoes, what will you be flying?
The new prototype, IFA. I can refuel at Gioia del Colle, the Italian airstrip we used for Bosnia.
IFA? Are you sure about this?
Patrick, what's IFA?
I can't imagine.
EFA, European Fighter Aircraft. That's not due into service till the year 2000 or so.
We've been running armaments tests on one of the prototypes. His computer navigates through a speech program. It's very fast, very powerful, and very long range.
That might prove useful against the alien attackers.
That's why I'm taking it to the car rally.
As soon as your aircraft's turn round, Becky, we'll get ready to the coast.
Right.
I'll go get my stuff.
Why did you volunteer me, Patrick? I can't read a map for toffee.
All you have to do is to follow the checklist. Much more interesting than playing all that horrible pop music.
There speaks the xylophone.
Ether, this is Bluetooth. Try pulling your wheels up. You'll go a lot faster. Over.
Just getting used to this flaming computer, Bluetooth. Somebody who claims to be has made a sign over.
Very appropriate.
Sir, so undercut.
Undercut, soon.
Well, at least I'm not a chance of that.
And then I see.
Remembering how to fly it.
Mel, the radar screen's picking something up.
Interesting.
You all right in the back, Patrick?
This G-suit's a bit of a tight fit, but I'll manage.
Section, this is Blue 3. Nicky's got three fast contacts converging from the west. Could be alien attackers, over.
Keep your eyes peeled, everybody. Another 5 minutes and we're over the coast.
Let's hope it's a ghost image.
I don't think so.
Attackers, at 4 o'clock. Wait.
These alien fighters are so single-minded. I couldn't help thinking they might have a blind spot we could take advantage of.
Yeah, Chris noted something about the one that was chasing the helicopter earlier. It sat right on the chopper's tail, but didn't seem to be interested in locking its weapons onto it.
Perhaps visual acuity, as we know it, is not their strong point.
I beg pardon?
They've got bad eyesight. Or good eyesight, but operating on a different frequency. Infrared, for example. Like moths, attracted to a light bulb rather than a candle. A tornado's heat signature would be much more vivid to them than a helicopter's.
So if we could cool our engines down, they'd lose interest?
If the theory is correct.
And if they repealed the law of physics. No heat equals no propulsion equals no flight.
There's an idea here, though. Let me have a think.
Well, think fast. They're getting very close.
Well, my sums are probably cockeyed, but I think we're heading away from the coast.
We are, Nicky. These attackers are pushing us back inland, almost as if they know we're trying to get Reggie away south.
That didn't sound too good.
They've been a lump out of the starboard wing. Just slowing up, might have a problem with the hydraulics.
This isn't working, is it?
No worries. Listen, you better make a break for it soon or you'll be swinging south. Over.
No, I need to be sure you can walk it away safely.
Yes, ma'am. If I might interrupt a moment. I think we have a means of diverting these alien attackers once and for all. Over.
I'm listening, Patrick. Over.
We need to climb as high as we can and then throttle back our engines to almost nothing.
Patrick, with no power, these aircraft fly like bricks.
Bill, it's our only chance. Do you think you can do it?
Do I have a choice?
As we drop back down, bank to port and try to keep your nose up. On our mark, the tornadoes will fire off every missile they're carrying, but we mustn't let them lock onto any other aircraft.
You have nothing left to defend yourselves with.
It's a long shot, but if it works, we may not need them. If they're not full, drop your flare pack on my mark and we'll make a run for it anyway.
What do you say, Phil?
I'm climbing already.
Let's do it.
Should we guess the attack's never nip your rate of climb? They're right about back in.
I hope Patrick knows what he's doing.
I hope I know what I'm doing.
It's the best chance we've got. Controls are getting sloppy. I can't get much more altitude than this.
Blue section from Aether. Effective operational ceiling within 7 seconds.
This is as high as we get, according to my little friend.
Stand by, everybody. Don't look back. Now.
Take the stress and
pull
out from this dive.
I hope we pull out.
Period. No, it's not from Phil. Are you ready to release missiles?
On the armor. Just get up a bit more if I can.
20 seconds to a minimum safe
ejection. Oh, shut up, you're talking clock.
All aircraft stand by for missile launch. 3, 2, 1.
Missiles away.
Missiles away.
You know, I think they've helped work.
I'll give it a bit of throttle, I think. Where's the moon?
Stop. It sticks like a lead weight.
Is there anything I can do?
Get out and push. Hang on. She's coming up.
The wing's flapping.
Well, it works for the birds. Yes. Come on, old girl.
Close call. No sign of the aliens on the radar. No sign of Reggie, either.
Eva, this is Blue 3, come in.
Go home, you lot. There are 4 jets, 0 feet, and the coast is dead ahead.
Good luck, Reggie. Send us a postcard.
Take care, pal.
Oh, my goodness, look at that.
Do you see something, Patrick?
What? Alien attackers?
No, a lovely clear view of Venus on the horizon. What a shame I didn't bring my sketch pad.
Never mind, Patrick. The minute we land, I'll bring you a large scotch.
Computer, set course from NATO airbase, Gioia del Colle, Italy, avoiding major centers of population.
Forest Earth screen, advise fuel insufficient to complete trip in one leg.
There's a bit of margin for error. Give more information.
Number 2 tank leading, diagnostic, projectile perforation.
What? Oh, for
2 fast traces on radar, intercept course, range 5 miles and closing.
Great, just great. Arm sidewinders.
Sidewinders armed.
Not going to make a heck of a difference.
See
Harrier, Poppins 3, do not identify aircraft heading southeast 10 miles south of Cape Town. Identify yourself, over.
This is RAF Strike Command European Fighter Aircraft. I am British military aircraft. Hold your fire.
Unidentified aircraft, provide ISF support or we will bring you down, over.
Why isn't the IFF on?
It is
ready.
Slowly.
Damn it. Puffin 3, this is Aether. I am negative transponder. I am unable to squawk. Over.
Unidentified aircraft. You have 15 seconds to transmit squawk or I will launch missile. Over.
Computer. IFF signal on now.
Please repeat slowly.
Turn on the identification friend or foe signal now, please, or I'm stuffed.
IFF on.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Give me a break.
Aether, this is Puffin 3. Your squawk confirmed. You are leaking fuel badly. Do you require assistance? Over.
Yes, I require assistance. Please assist me. Yes, over.
Do you see you can set that thing down on an aircraft carrier? We're steaming south of the bed, regrouping there. Over.
Puffin 3, I'll land this thing on a shirt button if it's steaming south.
Computer!
Busy officer, carry on.
Aye, sir. Sorry I bent your ship, Captain Frobisher.
Glad to have you aboard, Wing Commander Reginald. Bit of paint will cover the scratches. Curious. You managed to get your aircraft down on deck in one piece, then you eject yourself overboard.
Bit of trouble with the computer, sir. Few bugs need ironing out.
What was your destination?
NATO emergency rendezvous, Bekaa Valley, sir.
I think we can manage that. The alien craft don't seem to patrol offshore much.
Is there any information about the airbase, sir?
I hear there's quite a collection of air forces represented there. Even the Iraqis and Israelis are comrades in arms. Strange how we forget our petty differences when our freedom's at stake. Now, we're all just humans together. Working towards the day we regain our independence, eh?
Yes. Roll on Independence Day, sir.
Indeed. Oh, we've received a signal from your outfit up at RAF Lucas. Somebody called Becky wanted to be remembered to you. Girlfriend?
Colleague, sir.
Said they all got back safely, and she got an invitation to tea with Her Majesty at Balmoral.
Hmm. That Becky, Republican to the core.
Well, American, is she?
No. Just joking, sir.
Americans, yeah. When this is all over and we've defeated these monsters, the Yanks will take the credit for it. You wait and see.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to Independence Day in the UK, starring Nicky Campbell, Patrick Moore, Toya Wilcox as Becky, Simon Threaves as Reggie, Colin Baker as Phil, Toby Longworth as Chris, and Peter Serafinowicz as Max, and Mark Goodyear as himself. The story was based on characters and events in the 20th Century Fox production Independence Day by Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich. The creative consultant was Dean Devlin. Technical realisation was by Paul Dealey and Wilfredo Acosta at the Soundhouse Limited. The music was by David Arnold and the additional music was by Mark Russell. Independence Day UK was written, produced and directed by Bert Maggs. This is an Audio Movies Limited 20th Century Fox production of BBC Radio 1.